Ladies, gentlemen, and others, welcome back to the Woody Allen Retrospective Podcast with me, your host, Donald Wonder, and my co-host with the most, James Daniel Walsh, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am shit. I feel like crap. I have a cold. My voice sounds extra nasally. I'm going to be coughing off mic, but listeners, I'm going to edit out as much as I can, and we can't delay the podcast because the scheduling hasn't been great this month. So we have to just push on. Let me apologize in advance, listeners. I'll try to clean it up as much as I can. But, you know.
Show must go on.
James, you deserve a round of applause for that one. The show must go on. And we're just podcasters anyway. Who gives a shit if we're not firing at 100%? We're going to continue the show. And on that note, if you've been joining us on our podcast adventures, you would know that after years and years and years of waiting, me and James finally got to talk about a Woody Allen movie last time we spoke about. And James, I'll let you say the name of the movie because I'm just going to butcher it.
Good Chance.
Yes, that movie. And you know what? I'm going to give a little update on like the reception. Generally, positive feedback, positive vibe.
Making good money.
Making decent money. And in I'm not seeing retaliatory, you know, takedowns of Allen.
I'm actually seeing defense of him. Like, everything I've seen has been people defending him.
Same here. So I am shocked. There was one stupid article, I believe it was by Cracked, saying that, I don't know where this guy pulled it from, but somewhere in the Coup de Chance, Woody Allen's taking digs at Dylan Farrell or something. And I was like, I didn't even read the article because he got flamed on the Woody Allen subreddit for the... You know what? One out of everything else I'm seeing is wild. I'm really, really surprised and impressed.
No, and for the first time in 10 years, I don't have to order my initial DVD from France. I have my copy of the movie pre-ordered. It comes next month. And it's Region 1 DVD, just like what I would need. So... that's nice.
Yeah. And right now, very strangely, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a score almost split equal from audience and critics, 80%. Mm-hmm. Both sides. So that's really impressive. I don't think, well, Woody Allen's kind of usually slotted one way or another. The fans love it. The critics don't, you know, the other way around. But this time, even split. Yeah, it's a great thing. And, you know, as the year goes on, I might do a separate podcast just talking about what the movie's doing and stuff like that. But people really enjoyed our opinion. It was, you know, fair. We just said it how we feel. And I was looking at other reviews after it was released. I've seen people are pretty much on point with what we were saying.
Yeah, good, not great.
Pretty much. So on that note, we're going to do another episode, as you can already tell from the title, of Woody Allen Adjacent. And what we usually do, just if this is the first time you're listening, this is how it goes. For the last couple of years, what we were doing is James picks a movie that we try to relate to Woody Allen somehow. I pick a movie, we go back and forth. But I had the bright idea, since AI is rising, it's going to take over the world. I thought, why don't we get AI as a third man to analyze Woody Allen's filmography, his writing style, and relate to us other movies that me and you might not pick. And today is one of those episodes where the AI has recommended a movie for us to talk about. You can see the title where it is. But James, would you mind telling the listeners what we're going to be talking about today or Woody Allen adjacent?
This time we are going to be talking about the 1995 Barry Sonnenfeld Get Shorty.
And yeah, give us a cast as well, if you don't mind.
Oh, Travolta, Gene Hackman, Rene Russo, Danny DeVito. It's a pretty star-studded cast.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those movies I think is iconic for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think this movie poster is one of the most, like, I've seen this poster so many times. I've even seen parodies of this poster. Mm-hmm. And this movie is very, very, very well beloved. Before we dig into it, I'm not consistent with this, but I'm going to play the trailer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the trailer for the movie, and then we'll come back with our thoughts. It's been a long time, but let's talk about Get Shorty right after this.
In a town known for fame, wealth, and glamour, one honest man has come to Hollywood to make a killing.
My name's Chili Palmer.
Chili's a gangster, ran a club I used to play at for another gangster back in Miami. How is Momo these days anyway?
Dead. So you make movies, huh?
I produce feature motion pictures.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Yesterday you were a loan shark.
Yeah, but I was never that into it.
You think the movie business is any different?
Ray, look at me.
Why don't you take a look at that?
You must bring something heavy to the deal.
I do. Me.
I think you ought to turn around and go back to Miami.
You're a stuntman, huh?
Yeah.
You any good?
I mean, he's got no respect for us.
Not bad for a guy his size.
Got a major star interested.
Which star?
Two-time Academy Award nominee, Martin Weir.
He played the mob guy turned snitch in Cyclone.
Yeah, one of his best parts.
No, well, the best part was when he played the crippled gay guy that climbed Mount Whitney.
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole trailer. There's no need for that. But I will say that, again, it's been a long time because, I'll be honest with you, James, I couldn't remember this movie from start to finish. I just remember highlights. It's another one of those movies people reference and clip and parody and stuff like that. So, you know, I have my thoughts now that I've watched it. Let's just pretend this is the first time I watched the movie. I got thoughts. But I want to know about your issue with Get Shorty, your thoughts on it. Let me hear your take.
I've been watching Get Shorty for 30 years now. I loved this movie when it came out. It was part of the whole renaissance of John Travolta's career after Pulp Fiction. And I haven't watched it in a while. And it's I remember now the last time that I watched it because I was in a store. I saw the DVD and it was a 2-pack. It was Get Shorty along with its sequel, Be Cool. And I had never seen Be Cool. So I bought it. I rewatched Get Shorty. I was like, I love this movie. Then I watched Be Cool, and I have not watched Get Shorty since then. 15 years ago.
Cool. You know what? I was going to surprise you, but I actually watched Be Cool as well. Be Cool had this reputation for being god-awful, and I remember that clearly people hated it with passion. And when I saw the cut, and we'll talk about it later, I just want to bring this up now. Be Cool was meant to be so atrocious. But when I saw the cast, I thought, you know what? There must be something of value from this movie. It can't be that bad or such. I would even debate Be Cool's got more stars than Get Shorty.
Oh, yeah. The poster for Be Cool is packed.
Yeah.
I didn't rewatch Be Cool, but I did some digging into it. And the director came out at some point and said, the script was R-rated, just like Get Shorty. And then at the last minute, they told him, you can't make an R-rated film. It has to be PG-13.
Really?
And that's what screwed the whole thing up.
Well, I did watch it and I got thoughts, but we'll get to Be Cool. But before that, let's take another slight diversion. James, are you aware that Get Shorty was also adapted into a TV series?
Yes, I am. I'm not familiar with the TV series, but isn't like the Irish Mafia or something in that?
Not exactly. One of the main characters, the actor Chris O'Dodd, he is Irish, but it's a mix. It's a mix of Irish, American, I think even Spanish. But yeah, I just so I could have a basis for discussion, I watched the first episode. I'd never watched a season before. And to be perfectly honest with you, just hearing about it, I thought, oh, here we go again. Hollywood just picking on the IP, just trying to cash on the IP, and da-da-da. I was pleasantly surprised, but I'll talk about that later. But yeah, do you want to go on a bit more about the movie, or should I now? Get Shorty, the original 1995.
Yeah, well, the movie's about a loan shark named Chili Palmer, who operates out of Miami, but he goes to LA to collect on a debt. And when he gets there, he gets mixed up in the movie business because he's a giant movie fan and decides, this is what I want to do. He wants to produce movies. So he hooks up with Gene Hackman, who is a B-movie director, and they're trying to get this movie made. And he finds out that just as crooked as what his old job was.
Hmm. So before Be Cool destroyed your appreciation for this movie, would you say this is a movie that you watched multiple times and thought this is
a
movie? Okay, cool.
I watched this movie a lot when I was younger. Like I said, it's not an independently released movie. It's MGM, but it felt like part of that 90s post Pulp Fiction independent movement where, you know, you had movies like this that would come out and they weren't, you know, a movie like this back then came out and it was a blockbuster. You know, you didn't need superheroes, you didn't need CGI, you didn't need big explosions, you just needed a good cast and a good script, and a movie like this could blow up and be huge. And God, I miss those days. I always thought it was hilarious. I always thought it was a really funny movie. Gene Hackman is one of my favorite actors, and I love it when he does comedy, because between this and The Birdcage, which came out around the same time, both those movies really showed that Gene Hackman was just very gifted as a comedic performer.
Yeah.
It also is, it's an example of, I've always felt John Travolta is the weirdest movie star, because he's unlike, you know, other contemporaries of his who, even when they make a string of bad movies, they're still movie stars. They're still respected. John Travolta, you know, he makes Saturday Night Fever and Grease, and he's the biggest movie star in the world. Yeah. And then nobody talks about him again.
For 20 years.
Yeah, until Pulp Fiction. Yeah. And then he's one of the biggest stars in the world again.
Yeah.
And then he disappears again. He just makes direct-to-DVD shit.
Battlefield F.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that he was one of the people being discussed for Tarantino's last movie, which Tarantino just canceled and isn't going to make that movie.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Travolta was really, he's got to have his fingers crossed going, please, Quentin, like, just whatever you do, cast me in whatever the next movie is, because he's back to just making garbage that nobody goes to see.
Let me tell you something, James. I'm not even joking. I could talk to you about John Travolta for an hour. For the simple reason, when he made Face Off with Nicolas Cage, obviously that movie is loved and hate-loved at the same time for how ridiculous, how bonkers, action. People call it one of the greatest, craziest action movies of all time, preposterous movies of all time. But the funny thing is, him and Nick Cage, because him and Nick Cage in some ways are comparable, especially as they are superstars that to this day work very hard. John Travolta, as you said, makes a lot of shit movies, but he doesn't stop working. John Travolta has made movies so fucking weird, so weird and so bad, that you can't reconcile the fact it's the same actor. You really can't. And I think the last movie he tried to make, where it seemed like he was going to have a return to form, was Gotti.
Yeah.
You know? And that, everyone heard about, oh my God, this is, yeah. And even some of the other actors he got, he was good as well. But that movie was one of the worst movies released. One of the biggest financial disappointments of that year. And
I want to say it's got like a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it would have a minus.
I've never seen it, but I'm really curious how they could fuck that up that bad.
Some movies, and this is the funny thing, John Travolta is now, sadly, right now, a lot of his movies have video essays. Like, if you want to laugh, you want to see people like YouTubers take 25 minutes just tearing apart an actor, John Travolta's got like five movies where he's done just that. there's one movie in particular, which is the one of the wildest movies. I don't know if he's a bad child.
What is that called?
I can't remember. I know I should have looked it up.
I'm looking it up right now, actually, because I can't remember the name of it. It's like it's not The Fan. That's a different movie. But
another bad one, by the way. That's another really bad one. But no, this movie was so bizarre that there's essays about it. And you know, I gotta respect the guy is still working to this day doing weird ass movies. Now, the reason why I brought up Nicolas Cage, you could make the same argument. Nicolas Cage, to this day, he makes weird movies.
The Fanatic.
Thank you. Close there. I can hear a movie called The Fan and The Fanatic. Of course you're going to get confused. Yeah. Thank you, James, for doing that. Nicolas Cage makes crazy ass movies, but for some reason, and no, these are two great actors. I'm not even trying to put them against each other because they did a movie together, a phenomenal movie together. But I just find it funny. They both act crazy. They're both great actors, but they both make insane films. But one guy makes insane films and is loved for it. One guy makes insane movies and is ridiculed, torn apart by it. And it's kind of a laughingstock of Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, every 20 years, he's actually overdue. Every 20 years, he makes something and everybody goes, oh yeah, John Travolta's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if it's just his agency or Scientology needs to do him better. Scientology helps Tom Cruise. I don't know why they don't help him.
Yeah.
Because
wasn't he into it before Tom Cruise anyway?
I think so. But like, it's like he gets on a string of really big movies that everybody says John Travolta's a movie star, big movie star. And then he just makes really stupid decisions and the movies all start to tank and then everybody goes, he's washed up.
Yeah.
And they walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is his current status, by the way. And I know we've gone off on a tangent, but related to this movie, and I'm going to jump in and say, you know, this is peak, cool, amazing John Travolta playing Chitty Palmer, the character's called Chitty Palmer. He is so fucking cool. So reserved, so laid back. And, you know, I don't want to say he carries the movie because everyone is really good in this movie, I'll be honest with you. And I love Danny DeVito in this movie as well quite a lot, even though he's not in it as much. But he is just firing on all cylinders. And you could just see, even in Be Cool, to be fair, even in Be Cool, he's not the problem in Be Cool. No. But, yeah, just seeing him do this, like, yeah, this is why everyone loves this guy. And, yeah, honestly, him... Overall dialogue, it's a really fun movie. You know, this is a fun movie. And the reason why it works, and I have to say now, the reason why this works a lot more than Be Cool is because in this movie, he's coming into the industry and he's applying his knowledge of street smarts to an idea. And, you know, seeing that is so cool. And he's so calm and he's so rational and he doesn't fit in this world. But he's edging his way in. And it's just it's like a masterclass of coolness, you know? And that's why it's so cool. In Be Cool, he's already established, he's already in this world. And all the cool things that he did in the first movie, they just replicate in Be Cool. And it's really corny, it's lazy, it's bad. But yeah, just seeing it for the first time, this movie should have really had a sequel. I know this is based off a book, and the book, you know, the Be Cool is a book as well, and they just thought, let's cash in 10 years later. But, you know, if this should have just been Get Shorty, the movie, you know, and the series is doing really done. It ended, but it did really well, carried the spirit of it. But yeah, I really enjoyed Get Shorty. I'm going to pass it back to you. And actually, I'm going to pass it to you and ask the question, can you see how Get Shorty can be equated to Woody Allen in any way? How would you see that? Arguments.
Yeah, one very specific way that the AI picked up on, and that is Bullets Over Broadway. That is the only Woody Allen movie where I would go, all right, I see that. I see the connection. But otherwise, no. it's pretty, I mean, it's got, it is one of those movies that it's dialogue driven. It's It's witty, it's charming, and I would associate that with, you know, Woody Allen movies. But the actual themes and everything, Bullets Over Broadway is the only Woody Allen movie that I can think of where the AI would go, well, that's, it's, Woody Allen made a gangster, a story about gangsters in show business.
Yeah.
Get Shorty is a movie about gangsters in show business. So
yeah, yeah,
that's the connection.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to leave you in suspense. I'm going to play, obviously, I love this part where I get to play the AI's reasons for this. Well, what I will say, and one thing the AI doesn't say, is with all these movies, there's always an actor, at least I can point out, Gene Hackman himself, as you guys already know, Another Woman's one of my favorite movies, which Gene Hackman is in, played a very dramatic role, and obviously there's an actor Woody connection here. But let's play, which is not very long, why the AI recommending it, Shuri. And I just want to say, I found this very, very cute. AI is not perfect. We all know that. And that's kind of the fun of doing this as well, knowing that it's going to get it wrong. How wrong is kind of the funny part as well. But I found it funny that its first thing it says as part of its response is that it think it made a mistake. Which I'm going to play right now, which you picked up on perfectly as well. So let's hear the AI discuss a bit why it decided to get Shorty as part of Woody Allen and Jason.
Admittedly, recommending Get Shorty 1995 might not have been the most intuitive choice based solely on Woody Allen's filmography. Here's why I might have suggested it for your consideration. Rich comedic potential. Get Shorty is a crime comedy, which isn't a genre Woody Allen typically explores. However, there are occasional forays into the comedic aspects of crime in his films, like Small Time Crooks, 2000. While not as neurotic as Woody Allen's protagonists, Chili Palmer, John Travolta, shares a similar trait of being a fast-talking character who uses wit and deception to navigate situations. This aligns with some of the charming conman archetypes found in Allen's films. The film blends the gritty world of gangsters with the absurdity of Hollywood, creating a hilarious premise ripe for discussion. Get Shorty cleverly satirizes the inner workings of Hollywood, poking fun at self-important producers, pretentious artists, and the constant chase for a hit. This critical element provides a springboard for deeper analysis beyond the surface-level humor. Hollywood satire. Both Get Shorty and some of Woody Allen's films, like Bullets Over Broadway, 1994, explore the absurdity and self-absorption of the film industry. Get Shorty uses satire to expose the underbelly of Hollywood deal-making and the desperation for success. By mentioning Woody Allen's films Bullets Over Broadway, 1994, and Hollywood Ending, 2002, we can create an interesting comparison. Discussing how Get Shorty uses a similar theme but with a distinct comedic approach can spark engaging conversation. Critical acclaim and audience appeal. Get Shorty was both a critical and commercial success, indicating its broad appeal. This makes it a relevant film for your podcast that likely resonates with a wide range of listeners. Overall, Get Shorty offers a perfect blend of humor, insightful satire, and memorable characters, making it a great choice for a fun and engaging podcast discussion.
You know what? I don't mind that. I heard that and I thought, you know what? I'm going to give you a round of applause, AI. I don't think he did too bad. What do you think, James?
I think it picked Bullets Over Broadway and just looked for a movie similar to that. Bullets Over Broadway was one of... It also came out roughly around the same time as Get Shorty, and it was also similarly a hit. Now that I think of it, it's kind of like one of those times where they'll make a... like Armageddon and Deep Impact or something,
yeah,
where
yeah.
two movies come out and they got kind of the same idea to them. That would be Get Shorty and Bullets Over Broadway. So I do get it. And I'm guilty of this too. I picked Belfast based entirely on Radio Days.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, I don't mind it picking like, okay, well, this is similar to that. I don't mind that. But I can't, Bullets Over Broadway was what, 92, 93?
I thought it was 94.
It might have been. And I don't think it really would have been much of an influence on this movie.
No.
because it came out so close to it. And this is based on an Elmore Leonard book, so it's got the novel to draw off of. I've not read that one. I've read Out of Sight, I think is the only Elmore Leonard book that I read, which is also a really great movie that came around this time with George Clooney.
Yeah.
The most Woody Allen moment in the entire movie is the part where Chili is trying to teach the Danny DeVito character how to act like a Shylock.
Ah, that was hilarious.
And that's very Woody. The pretension that Danny DeVito is showing, and you know, him trying to get into character right in front of them, and that felt very Woody. Otherwise, I would say this owes a little bit more to, you know, different kinds of Hollywood satires than necessarily anything that Woody ever did.
Yeah, and it did say Hollywood ending thrown in there. Not really. Woody's Hollywood ending, it was about, you know, him being blind and making any movie. And, you know, so I think we can strain to draw some parallels to that movie a little bit, but I agree with you. It saw gangsters and gangsters Hollywood and just thought, yeah, put us over Broadway. Let's use that. And again, no shame with it.
No.
But yeah, I think this film, I really did enjoy it. It was simple. I will say it felt kind of smaller than I remember, because I thought Be Cool feels like a big affair of over 20 different celebrities. This movie also had a few. And actually, they don't play themselves anyway. Danny DeVito has played himself, but in the other movie, I think some, what's that rocker name again? I can't remember. The head singer of Aerosmith, I think he was in that.
Oh, yeah, Steven Tyler. It was like an early movie for The Rock.
Oh, let me get to that. Just hold that for. Just hold that for. But yeah, let me wrap up on Get Shorty. You know, this is it felt like a small movie, small amount of characters, but really, really good, tight dialogue. Witty, funny, creative for the characters who were trying to pull one off with each other. A delightful. I did not remember James Gandolfini was in this. What a delightful thing to see. I completely forgot. Honestly, I didn't even remember him in this. And just to see how only a few years later, The Sopranos changed the trajectory of his career was amazing. And he's really good in it. He's not doing much, but he's really good in this as well. You know? If anything, he's in one of the most memorable parts of the whole movie, where George Travolta catches him on the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, really, really cool scene.
And the part where he, like, Travolta beats him up against the car while he's waiting to jump him. And
yes.
Then they just start talking about his career as a stuntman, and he wins, you know, he wins Gandolfini over to his side. So.
Yeah, honestly, I think honestly, I like seeing a good movie, and this was a good movie. And I know this movie's hyped to death, and it, you know, personally, would I pick this movie? Probably not. But honestly, I really, like, appreciated why this movie's so hailed and so loved. People say it's even an actor's movie. Actors really love this movie because it's making fun of itself, you know? It's funny, we was talking about, I'm currently watching Barry, you know?
Oh, it's a good show.
Yeah, which is insane as well. And I just find myself, I watched the other series, Jury Duty, with James Marsden, and there's a lot of kind of meta, fake stuff going on that seems to be very popular, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nice to see Get Shorty. Well, let's just say it's not a surprise to see this got a TV adaptation later, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I don't have much more to say than I was just happy to watch the movie again. I thought it was kind of a thin choice for the AI to pick. It's reason this was fine, to be fair. But like you said, you've been guilty of doing it for a very easy reason. So it's fine. I was just happy to watch a good movie. My girl loved it. I liked it. And yeah, I was reminded why this movie is so popular in general.
When it picked Get Shorty, when the AI picked Get Shorty, I was just like, oh yeah. Well, I want to watch that. Like it was one of those movies that I kind of just forgot about. And I was very pleasantly surprised when the AI brought it up, but it was nice to sit down and watch it again. It's a very fun, lighthearted movie. It's not, it's like, I mean, I guess I would liken it to some of Woody Allen's movies in that it is just trying to make you smile.
Yeah.
It's not trying to, you know, it's in the kind of Midsummer Night sex comedy or something like that, where it's not trying to do anything particularly deep. It's just trying to make you smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, James, I'm sorry, but I've got to rip apart Be Cool now.
Go for it.
Listen, I couldn't fathom how I could hate Be Cool. But I just thought maybe it was one of those movies that back in the day everyone hated it because they loved the original so much. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why Be Cool is not good.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually one sin that my partner pointed out to me about the movie, which is one of the worst things a movie can do, especially a sequel. It's when the sequel just tries to live off the coattails of the first movie by recreating iconic scenes from the first movie.
Yeah.
And this movie does it like four times.
Not just trying to ape the first movie. The only reason John Travolta and Uma Thurman have a dance scene in it.
Pulp Fiction, yeah.
Is Pulp Fiction.
I was getting to that, James. That's what you call fan service. I fucking hate it. It was so cringy. Like, they extended it, you know. Black Eyed Peas, there was fine, you know. Don't mm-hmm. care. They had a celebrity cameo there as well, but it was so like, oh, if you wanted to see Travolta and Uma get together for Pulp Fiction, this is your movie. It was like the worst kind of fan fiction. Like, come on, like, to be honest with you, the fact she was hired for the movie itself was like, come on, guys, we know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's that good in this role, to be fair. And I like Uma Thurman a lot. I really do as an actress. But for this movie, I think she's cringy, to be honest with you. She's an A&R for the record label. And again, if you don't know, sorry, let me just pretend you guys don't know what Be Cool is about. So in Get Shorty, to summarize very quickly, John Travolta was trying to get into the movie business. Be Cool, he's done with the movie business and trying to get into the music business. So he comes across this hidden gem of a black artist who in real life is Christiana Milian, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very popular, at the time she was up and coming, and honestly it's one of the most past safe. I hate seeing, oh, I found the star and she's a black and she's talented, and it was like, oh my god, we're doing this. It was so lame. And by the way, back in the day of 2000s, R&B was big, and for her to be, she was singing songs that she was Mariah Carey, and I'm just like, I don't. I can't even describe how pathetic and just lame in this attempt was, and trying to sell me on, oh, this star that no one can see. She's a diamond in the rough like Aladdin, and mm-hmm. By the way, look, that just made me roll my eyes. But let me tell you something that is absolutely borderline hilarious, borderline offensive, man.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn.
Ooh.
Vince Vaughn, and I'd always play that for comedy, but let me tell you something. Listen, I like Vince Vaughn. Honestly, I do.
I do, Joe.
More in recent times, but back in the 2000s, and before he made The Wedding Crashers, you know, he blew up with him and Owen Wilson, the Buddy, whatever. This movie, man. Honestly, this is, and I don't like saying this, but the clips of this movie could get him cancelled.
Yes.
Because he is playing, he is playing, for all intents and purposes, and I hate to use the term, but it's appropriate, a wigger. A white guy playing a black person, and it is cringy as fuck. Honestly, I should have got a clip to play, but he is so cringy.
That's why I laid out all the paper to put you up in a video. I put paper down, man, to put you in a video, right? No one else on this damn beach has a video. Man, I love you like a brother. I used to bag on you all the time, man. You tripping. Why are you doing that, man? You want to take a shot at me, kid? Do it. Do it. I'm just saying, if that's what it's going to be, then it's going to be that. But I would prefer it to stay on the same page. Man, let your voice be your ladder, man. I'm serious. This acting shit got you acting crazy, man. What's up? You know I love you, man. Come on, man. E-weezy, come on, baby. E-weezy, come on, baby. E-weezy, come on, clown it, baby. You know I'll clown it. Turn around, because you know I clown it. Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And let me tell you something. You could have cringed, you know, he's playing. Honestly, he is just so bad. So it's embarrassing.
It is.
Honestly.
I think it was supposed to be hilarious in their mind. And I, when I saw the trailer for it, Vince Vaughn actually in the trailer was one of the things where I thought this could be good if they don't go too far with this. And then they went too far with it.
They went 100. They went 150 with that.
Yeah. And I mean, I the only thing I rewatched to be cool was the trailer. And you know, that whole thing, he's supposed to be her manager, but he's acting more like her pimp.
Yeah.
And you know, in the trailer, it's like, first of all, to your earlier point about like, there's a line in the trailer where Travolta compliments the singer, and he says, you know, Whitney on her best day could not have done what you did. And I was like, yes, she could have. But, and then, you know, that they show Vince Vaughn, oh, that's my manager. And he's got like the fur coat and he's dressed, he's trying to talk like he's a 90s gangster, but he's dressed like a 70s pimp.
Listen, right now, Cat Williams is all over the internet. Yeah, and Vince Vaughn is playing the Cat Williams persona. Cat Williams, even I'm not a big fan of Cat Williams. He's funny sometimes, but he's, you know, the whole black pimp culture, it's kind of played out. It's blaxploitation, whatever. Yeah, even when Cat Williams does it, I don't really want to see it. But when Vince Vaughn does it, it's just bad. And obviously, the film's self-aware. You know, people call him on acting this way. Don't get me wrong. The movie doesn't pretend he's cool. People don't like him, but it's just not good. But I do want to say, and I want to move on away from it, because, again, Christina Milian being the next thing since Whitney's bullshit, Vince Vaughn being a stereotype is garbage, it's just cringy. But the black characters they do have in this movie are stereotypes.
Yeah.
They're just hood guys, and even the music they're playing some bullshit hood music, like, We black and we in the hood and we like bitches. Yeah. The song is so basic and garbage. I'm like, even for 2005, this would be offensive. And, you know, Cedric the Entertainer is playing this character where he's like the kind of both ways character. He acts like he's an upstanding citizen on one end, but he's an idiot of a gang on the other end. And you know what?
He basically shook night.
Yeah, pretty much. But you know what's funny? I never thought I'd give him props, but his acting in this role is good. I don't like his character or the hood he's with, but his acting as the fuck is believable. I'm like, wow, Cedric the Entertainer can act. And I'm just being fair, but one of his henchmen, Lord. Let me tell you something, man. Andre 3000's one of the most beloved artists. Black, white, whatever. Everyone loves Andre 3000. He is cringe city.
Well, and the director, like I said, I did read a little clip, the director talking about this movie and why it didn't work. And he said, look, I was making a movie about gangster rappers and they wouldn't let it be R-rated. And he said, if I couldn't be edgy with it, then I had to be cringy with it.
Oh, boy.
So that might be one of the reasons it went that way, is because He had a script for an R-rated movie, and he basically just had to go through it with a marker and just like cross out all the swear words. So you get this watered down thing that, you know, is it's supposed to be this edgy, cool thing like the first movie, and it should have been even edgier considering the topic that they were tackling, and instead it's just PG-13 garbage, watered down, and like you said, a retread of the first one.
Yeah, everything about this movie is bad because it's cringy. The only thing that's not bad in the movie is John Travolta, but the problem is putting him in the movie, it's like he's in a parody. This whole movie is like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yes. You know? Mm-hmm.
for an hour and a half, and it kind of does a disservice to the first movie.
Well, even having, and you know, this I won't fault it for too much, because it, we got to remember the context of the time it was made in, but the character that The Rock plays, you know, he's supposed to be this big tough guy, but he's gay. And that's the joke. And, you know, he's gay, but then he'll try on these tight pants, and, you know, and that, I mean, that's in the trailer too, for,
yeah.
You know, when Travolta, like, I don't remember what he's telling The Rock to do, but he's telling The Rock to do something. The Rock does his stupid eyebrow thing, and Travolta, you know, ooh, I got chills. And it's like, everything about the, like, watching the trailer made me go, because I thought about it. I thought about, like, should I rewatch Be Cool? And then I watched the trailer. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I should not.
Yeah. I was surprised how bad the movie was. You know, on Rotten Tomatoes right now, it's got a critic score of 30, audience score of 42. It's a piece of shit. I just thought maybe it was being too harsh, or maybe I knew it was going to be bad, but I thought maybe the problem is, the main problem with Be Cool is that, like you said, they're not taking it seriously. It's played up like an SNL, like a spoof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the universe has got comedic value to it, but not this way. So it's a complete fail.
It's also just the subject matter. Both Hollywood and the music industry have a similar dark side. But Hollywood is so over-the-top pretentious up its own ass,
yeah,
that even the dark side of it can be comical. The music industry is just ugly. There's nothing funny about the way that a lot of these artists are treated. The fact that, you know, that the female singer is being treated like she's property, that's what a lot of young women get suckered into, and it gets ugly.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the art, like, off the top of my head. I can't remember the artist, but there was, like, a big, this was 10 years ago, this young woman who was up and coming big music star, but she had this manager that suckered her into signing away a deal, and he basically was using it to get sexual favors from her.
Oh boy.
And when she started to become famous and she started speaking out about it so she'd get out of her contract, the guy was just like, nope, fuck you, you'll never work again.
Isn't that Sia?
It might have been. I can't really remember which one it was, but that could be her. That was around the right time.
Yeah, I think it was her, because I heard about that, and obviously I don't want to get into this right now, but Taylor Swift's contract made her having to re-record her first four albums again. Whatever. Yeah, like you said, and I'll just move along. The music industry is a bitch. And look, on this movie, Be Cool had the germ of an idea, and maybe it was the studio interference that did that, but I've got to be honest with you. If you take this movie seriously and make it gritty and do this shit, then honestly, it's just a black stereotype of violence and all that. Which, again, there's truth to it. Don't get me wrong. Terrence Howard made that movie Hustle and Flow, you know, when we saw that life as well. There is truth to that, but I don't know. I don't think Be Cool would have worked, really, in the grand scheme.
Like I said, I think that kind of thing lends itself more to drama. If you're, because speaking of Terrence Howard, he was in that show Empire. You know, that kind of thing, I feel like you'd more do something dramatic and not comedic. And you're right, to put Chili in the middle of that, and to have Uma Thurman too, I hate to use this term because it gets overused. It's a little bit of a white savior movie.
Sure.
You know, Travolta comes in and saves her, and he makes her a star.
Like I said, I was tired of, when I saw that, I'm like, we're doing this again. But it was the 2000s, and I don't think this type of story was unpopular until like the 2010s, I'll be honest with you. Until The Blind Side blew this whole thing off the water, you know, really. I think that was that and Precious, to be fair. That when they kind of, even Precious not really a white saving movie, to be fair. But yeah, The Blind Side was like the movie that really kind of put a stop to it, in my mind. That made people unaware.
Okay. This is a segue to me getting to tell a story that barely connects to anything we're talking about.
Please, go ahead. Go for it.
It's one of my favorite stories to tell, so I'm going to take this opportunity to do it.
It's
funny because I was literally just telling people this story last night. So around 2018, I go to a writer's conference, and at the conference, you know, you get to pitch to agents, but you also get to go to seminars and stuff. One of the seminars I went to was these agents, it was like a panel of agents, and they would read aloud people's query letters, but anonymously. And they would tell you at what point, if they received that query letter, that they would just ball it up and throw it in the trash. And so they get to this one query letter, and the woman starts reading it out loud. And you always start with the plot summary. And the plot summary starts with, a white teacher moves into a black neighborhood to teach English. And I immediately put my head in my hand, and I just thought, this is going to be bad. And the woman slams the letter down. A white lady, because they're all white ladies.
Okay.
Slams the letter down, and she just starts going on this tirade. We don't tell stories like this anymore. Black people do not need white people to save them. And I'm picturing in my head this little old man who maybe he was that teacher and he doesn't understand why he's being yelled at right now. So the next day, I'm waiting to go pitch to an agent. And this guy, a little younger than me, black guy, sits down next to me. And he and I start talking. He asks me what my book is about. I tell him. I ask him what his book is about. He says, a white teacher moves into a black neighborhood to teach English. And my jaw dropped and I pointed at him. It was you. And he starts laughing. And he goes, and I said to him, why didn't you say anything? He said, because I was sitting there laughing at them the entire time. So he goes in to pitch to the exact same agent who went on that tirade. And he came out and I asked him, so how did it go? And he said, she loved the idea. She thought it was very brave. She wants to read the first three chapters. So that's why, like, a lot of the time when that kind of a thing is brought up, I will laugh at it. This time with Be Cool, it is 100% legitimate. We shouldn't tell stories like this anymore. John Travolta does not need to come in and save this young lady.
You just reminded me of that movie. Jeffrey Wright, who plays... He plays a constable in the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He did a movie this year where he was a wow. Yeah. What was it called? It was called American Fiction. American Fiction.
I haven't seen it yet, but I really do want to watch that one.
Yeah, I did watch it. I actually watched it. It was very true. It was a very big downer, if I'm going to be honest with you. And I liked it. Very, very good movie. And guys, I'm sorry. I know we're going on a bit of a tangent and all that stuff. Yeah. But now we'll move on. But I don't blame you for taking that aside. Thank you for sharing that story. And yeah, Be Cool is...
It's bad enough, like I said, to where I didn't watch the original for like 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move on. A couple of years ago, I heard that Get Shorty was getting a TV adaptation. I just rolled my eyes. Now, keep in mind, I wasn't a big fan of the movie like you. Like, I thought it was an okay movie, but I just, again, as I said at the beginning, I thought this was Hollywood cashing in on an established franchise, and they just want to get, you know, work off the fans that exist and blah, 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 blah. So, but for this podcast, I thought, you know what? Let me watch it. Let me watch the first episode. Let me look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. Da, 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 da. So I will tell you, the first thing is, the Get Shorty TV series, I believe it started in 2017. It went on for 3 seasons, ended in 2019. It is not like a sequel to the John Travolta movie. It's basically the original idea of the book, done again in a more modern way. Now, the Rotten Tomatoes score on the TV series is strong, very strong. All the reviews of it was positive. But I gotta be honest with you, I still was very, very hesitant to even. I don't know. I just feel like in myself, I'm not gonna like this.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished watching the first episode, I was so impressed because when we spoke about High Fidelity and the adaptation for movie to TV series, I feel like this is how you do it. They weren't trying to rush anything. They'd obviously thought of a way to modernize this story, make it completely different, because again, there's no Chidi Palmer in this version of Get Shorty. He's a different, as you said, he's an American-Irish guy, or an Irish guy in America, or whatever. He's way more violent. It's more like, and again, when I use this comparison, it's the best thing I can feel of. This series had a Guy Ritchie feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a true gangster comedy. In the way, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie feel to it. Mixed with a Breaking Bad vibe, especially with all the stuff going on. The Hollywood stuff was an afterthought. And I'll be honest with you, I thought that was a really good idea. It's a very dark and gritty and violent series, but the undertone of comedy, again, reminds me of the Guy Ritchie movies. You know, it might be funny what's going on, but people are getting killed and shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the Get... I would watch the Get Shorty series. I thought it was great. I thought it was fresh. I liked everyone in it. Ray Romano is the guy playing the producer in this interpretation of the book. And I thought I would definitely watch the series. It's new, it's fresh, it does exactly everything we said about the High Fidelity adaptation, where they switch things up. It makes sense, and I liked what I saw. It looked beautiful, and I can see why it was so highly rated. So will I watch a Get Shorty TV series? Eventually I will. I think they did really, really well, and I only watched one episode.
I would be interested. It's not one of those ones, like High Fidelity, I think I said this in the podcast, I felt like it flipped things without having a reason to. It didn't really make a point of flipping it. It just flipped it to flip it. Get Shorty as a TV series, I can see it. I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now, and I'm seeing that they don't really have the Chili Palmer character in it.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I could see how it would work in a way High Fidelity wouldn't.
The stakes are better, you know? The Lone Shark character, and I would just say this, the Lone Shark character in this, I forgot his name, to be honest with you, but he has a daughter. He's trying to get back with his ex-wife. They're not divorced. They're separated. But she knows what he did. She knows what he does as a way to make money. And they're killing people. Like, literally, the first episode, they kill about 3 people. And it's really... The way it's handled is really comical, but funny. And, you know, it doesn't work out for him. He goes with this idea and it doesn't work in the first episode. I was curious to see more, but I just want to say the production value is really good. The actors are on point. And this is as much as I would say, yeah, come on, guys, you're just cashing in. If it wasn't called Get Shorty, it would be a good watch. And that's the only... Actually, the name kind of hinders me from it. Like, it seems like a good crime drama with a good comedy angle with this whole Hollywood angle to it. Putting the Get Shorty name on it is the only thing that makes me think, But really, it's his own thing. It's a whole new thing, really.
Well, and that's right. Like, I will say, like, because High Fidelity does come to mind, the TV series High Fidelity comes to mind, because it's one of those things where it's like, you can tell that the only reason it's called that is to try and cash in on something that...
Yes, yes.
I don't see the... It's not like Get Shorty or High Fidelity are big movies that are remembered today.
Yeah, exactly.
So the fact that they're trying to cash in on this kind of niche audience by calling it this when they could have just made their own original thing, that's the thing I can't stand.
That's Hollywood today. That's Hollywood today.
Yeah, we could make our own thing.
Yeah.
But the worst one that I can think of is, because I also like horror movies, they remade Child's Play.
That movie,
and if you watch the movie, it has nothing to do with the original Child's Play. It's a completely different thing. It could have been its own standalone movie, but they were like, people know Chucky. So we're just going to call this doll Chucky, and we're going to make him look kind of like Chucky, and we're going to call it Child's Play. And that's the thing that hinders it. It's otherwise a pretty good movie.
Well, James, I'm gonna stop you there and say I'm a massive fan of Child's Play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know, actually, because the movie series of Child's Play is still going on.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
No. They've split off into 2 different parallel universes now. The movie...
I heard they're gonna make another Chucky movie.
Yeah, but... that continues the original title, the TV series. There's a... I know we're going off on the tangent, JP. I'm sorry. But there's this whole... And the reason why I'm bringing this up, again, studio interference. Basically, with Chucky in particular, there's some madness going on with the rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie series is still going on. But I don't know if the actual rights holders have made this TV series. And James, I thought that was great. I'm glad you brought it up because that's weird. That's weird.
Well, it's one of the reasons why it's a right situation where like they could, that's why they haven't called any of the movies Child's Play, is because they can't use the name Child's Play. So they call it Rite of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, whatever. It's a lot like with the, you know, like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. Those are sequels to Night of the Living Dead, but the rights are split in such a way that they can't call it Dawn of the Living Dead. These things get weird and complicated.
They do. And yeah, I know we've gone all over the house to bring this up, but yeah, to wrap up, I'm glad I got to watch this movie. It was a lot of fun. The TV series looks great. This is a great franchise. And by the way, that TV series, if you think the AI would not compare the TV series to Woody Allen at all, because that TV series, if anything, if I was going to compare the TV series of Get Shorty to anything, I'll compare it more to that Fargo right now. You know, that kind of dark comedy with ultra violence compared. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And all I can say is I enjoyed watching Get Shorty. And the TV series looks really good. Be Cool is atrocious. It's a shame. And Vince Vaughn probably is cringing just watching those scenes again, honestly. But as for The Rock, which I never mentioned, it'd be cool. There's irony in the fact, at the end of Be Cool, I think the camera pans up to The Rock on a big movie poster with, I can't remember who it was, a big female actress. And I laughed and said, this guy's literally one of the biggest stars in the world right now. Like, Be Cool is like, it's funny because what happens to The Rock in Be Cool happened to The Rock in real life. Which I thought was hilarious. Right, I know right now his star is waning. He's not the man on top right now. But for 10 years, The Rock was on top. You know, whether we like it or not, he became the success he wanted to become in Be Cool. And by the way, him playing a gay character in Be Cool was so weak sauce. And what I mean by that is he didn't really do anything gay. If anything, he was just more flamboyant.
Yeah, occasionally he would slip into a stereotype. That's all there was.
Yeah, but I honestly, you know, I could see, unlike Vince Ward, I think The Rock can look back on this while still fake. Hey, that was kind of fun. Not Vince Ward. He can't look back on Be Cool. Say, that's just...
No, I'm sure Vince Vaughn wants to pretend this movie doesn't exist.
And by the way, that last scene with Vince Ward, at the end of Be Cool, he gets set on fire in a hip-hop video. It's kind of funny. That was the only part of the movie that made me laugh. Not even because I wanted to see him get killed, which I did. I'm not going to lie. It's just that the way they shot it was funny. It was actually the way he got set on fire and he ended up on stage and everyone thought it was like a pyrotechnics smashing effect on purpose. And then at the end of the movie, it was funny. It was actually genuinely funny. But honestly, Be Cool was terrible. Terrible. And that's it, man.
Well, I would like, before we go, to just point out that the character of Chili Palmer is actually a real person.
Really?
Who actually has a cameo in the movie as one of Ray Barboni's henchmen. He's a real guy.
No way! Oh, that's a cool little fun fact there. Well done, James. Thanks for that. I never, ever, ever knew that. I always find it interesting, actually. You know, I wonder if he was... you know what, James? You know what? Thank you so much. You almost made me forget. The AI actually said to us, we should give the author a shout-out. Can you believe it? I'm going to play. He said, don't forget to mention some of the author's other work. So before we wrap up this discussion, let me give the author his flowers, as this is what the AI told us to do, James. So let me play this quick 1 minute clip of the AI talking about the author of Get Shorty.
Elmore Leonard, 1925 to 2013, was a prolific crime fiction author who penned the Get Shorty novel, 1990. His signature style features witty dialogue, unforgettable characters, and a blend of humor and suspense. Beyond Get Shorty, Leonard's legacy extends far beyond this one book. He wrote over 45 novels and numerous short stories, with many adapted for the screen. Out of Sight, 1998, a critically acclaimed film starring George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez, capturing the essence of his heist novel. Jackie Brown, 1997, directed by Quentin Tarantino, this stylish film with strong performances is based on Leonard's Rum Punch. Justified, 2010-2015. This FX series brought Leonard's character Raylan Givens to life based on his short stories. A word on adaptations. While there's no record of Leonard's specific thoughts on the 1995 Get Shorty film adaptation, its critical success suggests he'd have been pleased. Information on his feelings about the 2005 Be Cool adaptation, the Get Shorty sequel, is also unavailable, though reviews were mixed.
Mixed. I think that's an understatement.
That is a good point, though. There was this little window in time between this, Out of Sight, and Jackie Brown, where Hollywood just was... Elmore Leonard was the man, and he was the main guy that would get adaptations made. So, yeah, I'm glad that the AI wanted a shout out to the original author.
I never knew that, James. I never knew that he was so prolific and made so many good films I love. I really do enjoy most of the movies. So, yeah, I'm glad the AI did that, man. So, yeah, the AI did well. The last movie before this, if this is your first time listening to it, Jason, and you're wondering, what's this AI shit you guys do? It's weird. Before this, the I think it picked the movie California Suite, Bill Cosby versus...
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor, which was something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. So yeah, this AI is going to lead us down an interesting road, James. But before we sign off, I do want to let you know that the next movie is my turn, James. My turn. And the movie I have picked for our next discussion, which you might already know, is, you know, there's a lot of recent movies we've covered, which is really cool. There is an actor we've already mentioned in this episode, this podcast itself, we already mentioned, that we haven't gotten to yet, where he is front and center. And it just turned out this way, James. My next movie I'm choosing for us to discuss on the Jason is a Nicolas Cage movie.
I got the email today, so
yes, you did. Last year, Nicolas Cage released the movie. I saw the trailer, and I just thought, I feel like Woody Allen would have done something very close to this. And that is why we're going to be talking about the movie. And funny enough, I actually forgot about the name of the movie. What's the movie called again, James?
Dream Scenario.
Dream Scenario. I'm sick, guys. I'm sick, so bear with me. Yeah, Dream Scenario 2023. The trailer looked great. I don't know. Have you seen the trailer for this movie?
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for it. It did look fun.
Yeah. So look forward to that. But before we properly sign off, James, do you want to have the last word on anything else before we wrap up?
No, I think I would just say that this is a work. It's a movie that was very popular in its day, and I feel like it's gotten kind of forgotten. So absolutely, you should seek out Get Shorty. And
yeah.
And I think it's just a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. The TV series adaptation looks really, really good. I highly recommend it. Don't feed into your curiosity to check out Be Cool. It's gone.
No, trust me, it makes the first movie worse.
I don't think you can even watch it as a hate watch, honestly.
No, not at all.
Sometimes I like doing that, but Be Cool wasn't even a hate watch. It's just cringe, trying to live off the glory of the first movie, stereotypes, and just cringe. So
yeah
man. So James, let the people know where they can get in touch with you so I can go get my medicine and go to bed.
Well, you can find me at manic-expression.com, the Manic Expression YouTube channel, and my books are available on Amazon.
They are good, sir. What we have is a Linktree link which has all of James's book, his Amazon page. We have a Patreon. I want to give a shout out to our patrons for supporting the show. Please consider becoming a patron. I know you guys probably hear this from every other creator, podcast, or YouTuber, but believe me, even $5 helps us have our professional private Zoom discussions where we're not just banking on Zoom's 40-minute fucking annoying thing. And yeah, we'll do everything we can to uplift the show. Also, we've got... a Ko-fi page. Ko-fi is a platform where you can give a one-time donation. If you don't want to do a Patreon subscription, consider hitting us up on Ko-fi. But if nothing else, we would love a 5-star rating on Spotify or for you to write out a review on iTunes for us. That would help a lot. And on that note, you can contact me. Use the Linktree link. Then you'll see all our links and you'll find how to contact me on there as well. But I need to go, man, because I need to take my medicine, guys. So, James, thank you as always for joining me. And it was a great discussion. Thank you, buddy.
Well, I'm glad to have it, as always.
And thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for subscribing. Consider sharing the podcast with someone you think might be interested. And at some point, I will do kind of a touch base with Coop to Charles to see, you know, just talk more about it a little bit. We'll do something. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But I'm just glad there's no controversy with that movie. Honestly, or Woody Allen at this point. I am glad. I'm happy for Woody that he's got a win. I really am.
Me too.
Yeah. On that note, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. We will see you on the next recording right here on the Woody Allen Retrospective Podcast.